regular.
Yeah, this is a Monday
1:35.
We're just clocking in 9 to 5. You know, regular.
It's
lunch
like Garfield shit.
Episode.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're like Garfield in a hard hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why are we wearing hard hats?
You know, it's like a Garfield poster at a construction site. That's like, I hate Mondays, but also he's kind of smiling and giving a thumbs up.
Have you ever been to a construction site?
Yeah, I'm wearing like my hard hat because every Monday and Friday I have to burrow back into the CIA black site and convince them that I'm still here by recording a podcast in their basement. So,
wait.
The rest of the time I just leave a bunch of pillows under a bunch of blankets.
This is a complicated joke. You basically were implying in that one sentence that the CIA had caught you, and then you created a Bugs Bunny-like tunnel to Albuquerque that you were leaving every night to live your normal life.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we've been broadcasting this from, a bunch of different places. I think we've said over the years at this point. But, yeah. You know, CIA Black Site is just shorthand for all of them. Yeah. Well, who runs the New York Times if not the CIA?
Yeah.
If their headquarters aren't a black site, I mean, yeah. I'll eat my shoes.
Yeah, the New York Times building is basically a CIA white site because, you know, you can see them coming and going.
Yeah, I love white sites.
Yeah, I mean, it is a white site, the opposite of a black site.
Yeah, well, you know, it's full of white sites. Washington.
The clowns in Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce, the show about politics and other things.
Welcome to our green site.
Such as weed.
Yeah, and welcome also, to Beep Beep Green Site.
Hey.
We got John, we got Bryn, we got Chris here today. Todd is unavailable due to his imperialist style trekking that he's doing. We found an even newer world. It's a new world too, as you might say. So we're doing red green alliance imperialism.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to see if they grow weed too there.
A lot of people think that if you keep going west from the United States, you'll just like end up in East Asia, but that's not true. There's a bunch of extra shit over there. It doesn't wrap around at all.
Yeah.
These fucking small brain flat earthers just need to think a lot bigger. What about an infinite earth? Like, you know, completely extended earth, amplified earth theory. That's my
Wait, how have I never heard of, like, that angle of like the flat earth conspiracy, that it's like there's whole countries where the, you know, global lizard people live and that's where they run everything from,
right?
And
right.
You're not allowed to know about it, so they say the earth is this shape and there's only these planets.
I love
the
lie
is that space goes out in all directions. Space is only up. There's a world border at the bottom and it's just infinite in other directions.
Right. They say that you can see, you know, we can see everything from space, but I mean, you can only ever see one side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you don't know. What if there's a whole like fog of war, you know, that hasn't even been cleared yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and they're like, oh, measure the curvature of the earth, John. I'm like, it's just curving in other dimensions, you fucking pea brain.
Yeah, you're like a tiny baby.
I've been published in a peer-reviewed journal called the Joe Rogan Podcast, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. John has gone on the Joe Rogan Podcast. Look out, subscribe to Joe Rogan's YouTube so you can see the episode.
Flipped, and then he discovered a new type of quantum physics for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just talked about infected mushroom. I don't really, it's unclear, but we'll find out when the
also
episode.
I had a big
difference.
Infected mushroom phase. I could probably really gab with Rogan about infected mushroom, I bet.
Yeah. Dude, have you heard of base nectar? Jimmy, pull up base nectar. Pull up ultra black.
Jimmy, can we listen to some pre-Skrillex dubstep? Can you put on the Whittler?
Jimmy, can you pull up some Digital Mystics?
Play us a little UK dubstep. You know, I like this a lot better than the American wubstep. I love the, you know, just the like old school deep.
Almost like spiking the camera on YouTube, just like looking into it and just be like, wow.
He's just sitting around with Joe Rogan, like listening to Burial, and be like, you hear that sample? He's like, yeah, that was emotional, man. I'm like, right? It's emotional.
Man. I would start doing, if I had like $1 million contract with Spotify and my show was just like digging around, I'd be like, all right, this week we're going to listen to some albums and just like play a Burial album and mostly sit there like nodding and sometimes be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's cool. I like that part.
Yeah, this is great.
Like college dude version of toasting where you're just like hanging out with your bros and you're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that part? It'll come back around if you didn't catch it. Right?
We should pioneer that as like a new type of DJ. You know, like people are going to be a little nervous to go outside to concerts and stuff after COVID ends. So make it feel more like you're hanging out with a few friends listening to music.
Just it's really going to revolutionize and legitimize the just press play style of DJing. I think we should just like own it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally push play, open up one of those folding camp chairs, set it up like on the other side of the mixing desk so I'm not like DJing anymore, and then have a microphone and just be like, ooh. Oh yeah, that rocks. That's cool.
All right. Well, speaking of fucking chilling and broing out,
being cool.
DC cop cars were totaled after the police officers were drag racing in. Does this mean New England?
Northeast? It might be a neighborhood in DC or something that they're referring to. Hold on.
Yeah, probably.
Let's look at this. The article says DC cop cars totaled after officers drag race in NE, says commander, according to the Washington DC Fox outlet. I guess it's DC. It says northeast near Kenilworth Park and Aquatic Garden.
Yeah, yeah. So NE just means northeast. I guess that's like the shorthand. They were like, should we name our boroughs? How about northeast?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a few fucking really cool guys in khakis and polos were like, why not just call it Northeast? I love a good directional definition for something.
Yeah, DC has some really stupid fucking names. What is it called? 2 6D scout cars were totaled. Like, what does that mean? Who cares? So they decided, instead of fighting crime, which is what they normally do, patrolling their beats and engaging with the community, they decided to drag race each other on Anacostia Avenue at 5 p.m. And at 5 p.m., old people are still awake.
We've had a tough day. Let's go drag racing.
Yeah. But what?
The middle of the day, basically.
I mean, this is honestly, like, I'm torn because, like, I hate cops and I hate that they're doing something that, like, drag racing is cool, but you can't do it in the street. Like, you can't just do it on like a neighborhood road. Like, yeah, like 5 p.m., like you said, like, people are going to be coming home from like getting groceries and like work and stuff.
Most people aren't even off work yet. Like, old people are getting steak dinners, like, at this point. Like, I don't know what people is happening in DC, what people's schedule is like in DC, but I'm assuming, you know, this is the middle of the day, the sun is up.
It's much safer in DC because all the geriatrics are in Congress.
That's true. Yeah, it's a shame that they couldn't at least like go out in the middle of the desert and do this, because it's like, I've often had this thought about cops. Like, when I see a cop in a donut shop or like in a Dunkin' Donuts, like dicking around, it's like the best thing that a cop can do, other than, you know, the obvious, is stand around with their thumbs up their asses, because a cop never does anything good or helps anyone. So if they're just like drag racing in the desert or like playing video games with their friends or eating donuts or whatever, at least they're not hurting anybody.
At least
they're
just wasting money. We're getting them off the street. Yeah. We need after school programs for cops so that they're not on the street getting in trouble.
Yeah, we need some positive influence in their lives, you know, get them to stop this negative behavior they keep doing.
Maybe cops just haven't been given the resources to not abuse their families.
Yeah.
You know? No, I mean, what's really funny about this Fox article that details this as well is that it doesn't say there's going to be any kind of disciplinary action, other than that the police chief said she was holding command staff responsible to have discussions about speeding and driving recklessly with officers. So they're going to have like coffee about this. Like, that's the level of punishment that an officer faces for
literally
fucking drag racing.
Literally
have a very casual meeting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have nothing for this. Now for something completely different.
Speaking of speeding extremely fast into something different.
According to Telesur, Venezuela will begin producing insulin under a Russian license after the 2019 embargo. And here's like one of the big news stories of the week. America has been doing... using COVID to basically do more sanctions, like deadly sanctions, on companies using corporate IP law.
Right.
And so Venezuela is getting around this by using a Russian license.
Yeah. And like the actual ban on insulin happened in 2019 under President Trump. But like, the Biden presidency hasn't done anything to soften any of the embargoes on on socialist nations. Right. So yeah, this the socialist company for the production of biological medicines in Caracas is establishing facilities, according to a press release from Girafarm, I think I might be saying that correctly, which is a Russian pharmaceutical company. And it also includes the supply of something called insulin analogs from Russia. And then Venezuela, of course, has like a guarantee of how much they will produce based on these licenses and these resources and this capital input that this Russian firm is providing. So basically, they shouldn't have to do this. They should be able to buy their insulin from whoever makes it at a reasonable price. But all the major insulin producers have been told by the United States not to send their drugs to these socialist countries. So,
Right. And this is sort of one of those things that I think a lot of people forget about the word sanctions, is that sanctions are basically strangulation, torture, really, of a country, of the poor people, poorest people of the country. And so America being like, you can't have medicine and any of our allied, you know, because I feel like people are like, oh, well, they'll just make their own or get somewhere else. But like, when you're America and you basically are saying, if you're an allied country with us, you can't send these people insulin. That's everybody that makes insulin, you know, like, because we control the markets. We control everything.
The Russian firm actually said that, like, when the order passed in, or was handed down, rather, in 2019, literally all international insulin producers stopped sending insulin to Venezuela. So Venezuela has been running on insulin reserves for at least 2 years, which is, like, an insane amount of time and is putting the lives of so many diabetic people at risk. I can't imagine how many have died as a result of this. Because insulin rationing is like horrible. It's a really horrible thing to go through.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it happens here and there's no sanction on us. We just won't sell it to people.
Yeah. It's just very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the sanction of letting companies dictate how much money it costs for insulin.
Well, that's like it. It's like charging money at all for life-saving drugs is just...
Obviously, it's a
sanction on the poor, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I was reading, not in this story specifically, maybe in a story about like the fact that the U.S. won't give other countries like the intellectual property for vaccines, like for COVID vaccines. That it's like a lot of these sanctions like have in them a sort of like cop out where it's like, well, you're allowed to do stuff that's like for humanitarian aid, but like the thing is, all these companies are like afraid, you know, because it's like the thing is that like these companies will be financially punished or sued or whatever if they do trade, if they trade with these countries. So they're just like, well, we'd rather just do nothing, rather not trade with them at all, well, than try to like find the loophole that lets you do humanitarian aid.
Right. Well, here's my thing is it's like, how hard would it be to like, do you need the government that has like a vaccine or a particular insulin patent or whatever to send you their method to do it and like help you get started up? Like, what would happen if one of these nations was like, fuck you, I know we're not allowed, but we're just going to make a life-saving drug and give it away for free anyway? You get taken to The Hague or something? Like, what would happen?
Like, I think they'd just do sanctions on you.
Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, you look at a map of which countries support temporary relief of COVID-19 intellectual property for the vaccine, and it's like, the United States is against it. Western Europe is against it. Australia is against it. Japan is against it. Everybody else is for it, except for a handful of countries that are like major trading partners with countries that are against it. And then they're not sure. Like Canada's like, we don't know. And Mexico's damned if I have a clue. Like,
I wonder why. You can almost looks like your decision is based on your economic policies.
Yeah, and I mean, that's really what it is. It's just like, it's just like everything else. Like, these imperial countries are like, well, we could make a lot more money letting people die, so...
Yeah,
who gives a shit? That's what we're gonna do.
And it's all, you know, the thing is like, these people aren't making, like, even informed decisions. Like, in the long run, this will be the death of America. Like,
right, that's the thing.
You know, we're always making, like, you know, year-end, quarterly decisions of, like, well... You know, we have to have pharmaceutical countries like meet their, make their boards happy or whatever. Right. Like, everyone's making like immediate bottom line decisions.
Well, and like safe short term decisions. Like, there's how many Fast and Furious movies are we at now?
Nine.
That is outrageous. Like, write a new intellectual property already.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, what happens is you're going to have just tons of people who's now have dead family members because of completely preventable things, because of the decisions of corporate interests, because of the decisions of the government. And now there's going to be millions of people who think you're a murderer. And then it's just like, well, yeah, but we made money, or we made enough money. It's like,
but I mean, they're already emboldened enough. They think they can get away with that because they let that shit happen when COVID happened in the first place.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, okay with it. Not us, obviously, but like, everybody was just like, oh yeah, fine. You don't have to take care of us. We'll still like rally behind Joe Biden. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Speaking of Joe Biden, people are calling on him to end the blockade to Cuba.
Hell yeah. Cool. Another completely inhumane set of sanctions and embargoes.
Yes. Literally just torturing Cuba for decades, generations, for having the gall to, you know, try and be an independent country and, you know, give their citizens health care and you know, be communist. Basically.
Listen, Cuba is too based. We can't have that kind of based shit happening right near our borders. It like makes the US look even more cringe than they already are.
That's why Americans love dropping the base. And so there's been a sort of global protest this week called No Mas Abuso, or End the Blockade, or Unblock hashtag Unblock Cuba. And there's protests all over the U.S., New York, Washington, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco, Tampa, Las Vegas, Minneapolis, Seattle, and Indianapolis. And in Cuba, 3,000 people rode Cuban caravans to two cities. And, you know, we're just saying, like, this has to fucking end.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And also, the thing is, the last president who was in the Democratic Party did that, and now it got redone because of Trump. And so people are like, Biden, you know, what do you, why aren't you doing this? You can do it with a stroke of a pen. What's going on?
Yeah. If you want to bring back the Obama years so bad, like, this is one thing you could do that would actually be helpful.
Right.
And it's just like, he's not even trying to do it. They did also have protests in Beijing, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Montreal, and Nanaimo, which I don't know where that is, but it's in it's in Canada.
But you guys are forgetting. I think Champ or Major may have eaten all of Joe Biden's pen, so like, it's easy for us to say stroke of a pen, but if you don't even have a pen around, what are you supposed to do?
It's just so weird, because it's like, if I was the president and I wanted to do anything, like, I am aware that I would immediately be murdered, but I'm just saying, I would immediately do every fucking executive order that I possibly could. Like, if I wanted to change things in America, like, why wouldn't you just change everything that you could immediately?
I mean, it would be such a huge step towards like diplomatic relations, not just with Cuba, but like with everybody. Since 1992, the United Nations General Assembly has called for the U.S. to stop the unilateral punishment of the Cuban people, like literally every single year. So
we're just like, nah, I don't think so.
Even when Obama relaxed the sanctions, they were still like, you need to get rid of those. And this isn't a communist organization, despite what, I don't know, right-wing talk show hosts would have you believe. The UN is like a liberal capitalist organization.
Yeah, the UN is just as fascist as America, but it's I guess, like, through the looking glass in America, where there's no going back. There's no releasing or like relaxing or stranglehold, because the point is always to have a underclass and exploit that underclass and just extract resources as much as possible to feed the ruling class.
Yeah.
And we're kind of down the rabbit hole in a way that, like, there's no even need to be perceived as though we're benevolent.
Yeah,
it
I
is
think that's
simply
the big distinction.
Like the UN is like, well, you have to, like, there's no need to be this cruel.
Everything needs to be like proper. And like, if there is cruelty, it should be bureaucratic negligence. It shouldn't be like out and out like just, you know, the obscenity of the American way of doing things. But we're cowboys, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't stop us. We're rooting and tooting and doing multiple genocides at the same time.
But I think what's important to realize or recognize about America is that America is correct. Like, as ideologues, of course it's necessary.
Right.
Like, Cuba needs to be strangled until they are dead, because communism cannot be allowed to even exist, let alone flourish. And if you let them alone and say, hey, don't, you know, whatever, just do whatever you want, people, they like, they're aware. This is the thing. If you flip the sides, it makes sense to you. Like, if you're a communist and you're a communist country and you're in power, you wouldn't want to have Nazis right next to you. Like, you would try to stamp out fascism anywhere you could. And you'd be right to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, these people are doing a genocide next door. Look, you know, whatever, let them. And so I think the thing about people who are like actual ideologues in the CIA, like Alan Dulles, like, they understood that our ideology is to uphold the ruling class and exploit everybody. And so we're going to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also just anti-communism is such a great cover for not calling fascism fascism.
Exactly.
It's like, mm-hmm. this is necessary to stop communism. Like, what, when all the neo-Nazi bands needed a genre label to describe themselves that wouldn't like frighten the mainstream like radio DJs and shit too much, what did they pick? They picked rock against communism. That was their fucking choice. So it's like, it's the same ideological thing. And also, it's easy for the UN General Assembly to tell the United States to stop doing something they know the United States will never voluntarily stop doing. So it's just a free shot for them. They're like, look, we get to be woke. We're Europe and Canada, you know.
we're the nice, you know, European capitalists. Right. We're not doing anything crazy. It's not World War II anymore. It's been almost, you know, 80 years. It's
but they know that the United States is the muscle, right? Because they have a fucking symbiotic relationship with us anyway. So it's just good cop, bad cop bullshit.
It's the wormy, like, greasy haired, like, mastermind villain, like, saying to their big brawly Bruno guy, be like, hey, calm down. You know, but, you know, of course America will fucking end you as soon as you turn your back on them. But sure, like,
yeah. So basically you're saying that America is Darth Vader, and then the UN is like the all emperor. The other, like, the emperor, and just like all the bureaucrats, like,
it's
who are
not
like,
even a
Vader, calm down.
It's barely a metaphor. They're literally the empire. It's just, I don't want to be too black and white about it, because I do believe that there is, you know, shades within, you know, liberal democracy of, like, there are people who are trying to have their cake and eat it too, but it's like, not everyone. Like, it would have been better if, like, Kennedy, you know, lived and the CIA didn't take over. Like, I do think that, like, you could sort of be in this middle area for a while.
Yeah, but I think a more Norwegian United States.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I don't want to say, like, that's like bad or whatever, but I think I tend to push back on the idea that, like, that's the goal, or that it's not all sort of sliding in the direction of either communism or fascism. Mm-hmm. In my mind, liberal democracy.
Well, and it's just produced by different factors. I mean, like, we've said it before, but, like, the social democracy of Northern Europe is there because they didn't want them to have communist revolutions, and they figured a better way to make sure that their nation stayed the way it was economically and culturally was to be like, okay, here's healthcare, here's college, here's maternity leave, paternity leave. Please don't have a revolution, and you can keep being hyper-racist. All good.
Yeah, well, and exactly.
That was it. And they had that privilege because they were doing pseudo-imperialism, where they were like, we'll start capitalist firms that will go work for out-and-out empires like the United States and the UK and Germany, and we'll broker things for them. And that's why finance and, like, fucking like, analytics and transportation is so fucking big up in Northern Europe.
Right. It wouldn't be possible to have that sort of gradient of, like, nice capitalism with a happy face versus America just, like, stark, intense, disgusting, you know, fascist capitalism without, you know, America winning World War III, without you know, doing imperialism throughout Africa and Latin America and killing hundreds of thousands of millions of people over, you know, decades, and then winning the Cold War.
Yeah, just shifting the whole perspective of war entirely. I mean, kind of on the back of technology, but also on the back of a lot of political decisions to just turn it into a bunch of forever wars. You know, it's just like, it's not really a war. It's more like a military engagement. We do covert operations here, and we have a bunch of bases and a bunch of countries, some of whom aren't even friendly with us. We're just like, we just have a base in your country, deal with it. It's like, I don't know who's the bad guy.
Hard to tell. Right. And speaking of imperialism, the Boston Globe has a opinion article called "The Downside of Suspending Intellectual Property Rights on COVID-19 Vaccines" by Michael Rosenblatt. The lead is, pharmaceutical companies developed the drugs with impressive speed. The system that gave us these shots depends entirely on strong intellectual property rights. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
No, it doesn't.
It's literally just the same argument that, like, you have to keep giving the people who have a lot of money, or they won't do the thing that saves lives anymore. And it's like, I know for a fact that the researchers who worked on the vaccine do not own the pharmaceutical companies.
This
is just like that guy in the IKEA where they're like, you just lost a customer. He's like, do you think I own the store?
I'm gonna tell people not to shop here. Tell them.
You think I need five more yous walking around?
Yeah, exactly. And this is just, you know, disgusting simping for the ruling class.
Every time I get a vaccine made by you, you don't suspend intellectual property. It sounds like you're making the wrong order. Get the vaccine made by someone else.
Sounds like a you problem. It says, one year ago, we were living in lockdown. Today, more than half of all adults in America have at least one shot against COVID-19. Okay, that's not impressive because we know what happened in China. Like, we know what happened in Vietnam. We know that if you had done anything to help people to stem this fucking thing, this is not amazing. It's not, coronavirus inoculations have saved millions of lives and will save tens of millions more. They're getting us out of the house. Like, this, what are we supposed to be starry-eyed fucking thankful?
1 year of, like, a vaccine, of a virus ravaging the country, and it's like, now there's a shot for it, so you can be healthy when you go to McDonald's.
Vietnam didn't even have the fucking vaccine, like, just like nobody did for most of the fucking pandemic, and they had less deaths in their entire country of, like, or what is it, 100 million people, I think, about the same population as California. They had less deaths in total than we had in most counties in a random week of the pandemic.
We're probably still having more deaths right now than they ever did in 1 week, even with half the population vaccinated, because tons of people are still dying.
More people in the United States have died from COVID since we started this podcast than died in Vietnam the entire time.
It's America's has committed a genocide of the poor through negligence. And, you know, this motherfucker is saying, like, they did it in record speed. They fucking are saving people.
We should all be praising Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. You know, we don't want to force them to turn over hard-won knowledge. Hard-won knowledge? If you design something that will bring people back to life, like, you're obligated to share that with everybody. So I don't know how, like, something that would save their life in the first place is any fucking different.
And it's also like these companies didn't invent mRNA vaccines. Like, all of this stuff is publicly funded. Like, this is taxpayer technology. Like,
We paid them to develop it, and then once they did, they were like, well, we get to keep it now.
Wasn't there this one researcher who was, like, really interested in mRNA vaccines and, like, got laughed out of academic circles repeatedly and even lost her job? And then her research ended up being, like, one of the things that was really critical in developing the COVID vaccine.
Oh, interesting.
I want to verify this. Catalin Carrico, she lost her job after, at a prestigious U.S. university when they dismissed her interest in messenger RNA as a way to fight vaccines.
That's the real cancel culture.
So it's just like this disgusting ideology of just like, look, they did the big companies, the fucking suits who sit around and soak up money like big fat weird like blobs, like, they deserve to sell a vaccine forever to other countries that we have already done imperialism to for the past 100 years. just mind-boggling. Like, what do you think? What are you thinking? Just so you know, this article is written by a guy who works for something called Flagship Pioneering, which is a venture capital company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. What? And he is an advisor, a consultant for Moderna.
Jesus so Christ. Is this an opinion piece, at least?
It is an opinion piece in the Boston Globe. Like, this is not, you know, this isn't fucking some far right. This is the spotlight paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, journalism is, this is just, like Todd likes to say, it's just client journalism. Like, this is just propaganda.
Yeah. It's why sucking the blood of the poor is good from a vampire.
It's a 3,000 word ad on the front page of a major newspaper.
Exactly. It's fucking disgusting, and we don't need to give it any more time.
Yeah. It's so fucking short-sighted just from like the safety of your own citizens to be like, well, we shouldn't let the rest of the world get vaccinated because the virus doesn't care about the borders between countries, and Americans travel all over the world. People travel here. So what is going to happen when like some people are vaccinated, but a bunch of people in other countries haven't gotten vaccinated yet, and then they come here?
Right.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Well, relevant to trying to get everybody vaccinated and relevant to intellectual property surrounding vaccines, we have incredibly progressive, the most progressive news of all time, actually, from abcnews.go.com/politics. President Joe Biden spoke to India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi on Monday, pledging U.S. assistance after growing pressure on Washington to help. And the thing about this is that we're not actually getting any figures about how many vaccines we're going to share with India specifically, because what we know comes from White House senior advisor Andy Slavitt, where he says we'll be sharing as many as 60 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine to other countries, quote, as soon as they become available.
As many as means at most.
Yes.
Up to.
So,
If we have it in our budget.
We could possibly maybe send 60 million to other countries total.
Yeah.
But that's not even, that's not at least.
If
that's
your dad says most.
That's not even a commitment to India. It's like, there's a, aren't there like a billion people in India? 60 million is like literally 6% of their population. It's like tiny.
And that's if they were going to send all of those, but they not, they don't say, they say up to.
Up to 6% of your population could get vaccinated with AstraZeneca, the worst vaccine.
If you go to GameStop and your dad is like, you can get up to 2 games, you're getting 1 used Game Boy Color game and you're going to like it.
You're getting Tony Hawk on Game Boy Color, and you're going to like it.
I like Tony Hawk and Game Boy Advance. The one on Game Boy Color looked insane, though.
So I mean, what is this? Why do they think that? Like, who do they think they're fooling at this point?
What is this crap?
What is this crap?
Yeah, I don't, especially as like India is undergoing one of the worst periods of the pandemic of any country that has experienced it so far.
Yeah, India, you know, the media has absolutely not fucking touched, because India is our fascist friends, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, we're not trying to saber rattle with them like we do with China, but I just have to point out that India is locking people in their houses. They are doing mass graves. They're like sealing whole apartments and not letting people leave.
Yeah, they got hit with like 2 different really nasty COVID variants around the same time, is my loose understanding of it.
Yes. And they don't, but they're handling it worse than we did. And something that people were saying, oh, China is being authoritarian and making people not leave their homes, is something, and then like hiding all the bodies, all those things India is doing, no one has even fucking reported on it.
No.
It's, you know, and it's like, look, they aren't a poor country. India is an insanely rich country. They're a huge world power, and they don't have to be acting like this, but they're acting like us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to criticize that in the media.
Yeah, we can't criticize what they're doing or even draw too much attention to it, because it's really just like a much more hyper version of what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was also just reading in the ABC News article we were talking about that India is one of the world's top vaccine manufacturers. So I assume they're making a lot of the COVID vaccines, which then are getting shipped off to the U.S.
They don't get to keep
us.
Them because they don't own them.
Very cool.
It's fucking bleak as hell. You know, I was thinking about, I watched this goddamn Vox video a while back that was just maddening. And I didn't bring it. We haven't talked about it, I don't think. But it was this article about like how in New York City, there was this, there's a small island where during the height of the pandemic, when people are dying, they just started doing mass graves and then like dumping bodies. And
And
they were interviewing this woman whose best friend died. And then without anyone asking, she was a black woman, without anyone asking, they just took his body to this island and put him in an unmarked grave.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think they were saying it's like an island that's been used for decades as just like, if you die and you don't really have any family that like claims your body or wants to pay for a burial somewhere else, they just like bury you here in, I think, in unmarked graves too, or it's like marked with a number and it's like hard to even find out where people are buried.
Yeah. And this is happening in New York City in America. And the video had the tone of like, whoopsie, like we made an unfortunate fucking mistake. And we really need to do some work to make sure that some people get their, you know, their friends and loved ones, you know, buried properly. But it's like, this is dystopian fucking, like by any measure, if, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. you could point to China doing this, we would hear it nonstop. You'd be like, they're doing mass graves and taking people's family members away. But we don't get that. It's just like, oh, this sad thing that happened to maybe a couple people. Like, what the fuck? I just hate this sort of yeah. hypocrisy.
I mean, yeah. there will be like a curiosity piece about it in some kind of like, you know, Strange History of the United States Netflix special in 30 exactly. years if we it's don't do something
like,
about it.
It doesn't really matter. It's just this sort of like, huh, that's weird. We fucked up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One time, maybe. Well, it's not, it does not a pattern. Don't think about it.
Well, speaking of fucking up pathologically, I want to talk about Elon Musk a little bit because Elon Musk, we're doing Elon Watch again, people. Bow, 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 bow. And Elon, I mean, you've probably already seen this. I'm sure you're all terminally online as we are. Elon said a bunch of people probably will die during Mars Venture.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. We love that. He said it's dangerous and uncomfortable and that those involved may not make it back alive. Despite this, he insisted that it's a glorious adventure and an amazing experience, which is just like, I can't wait to be a fucking like wingnut technician on the SpaceX, you know, probe 420 and to get blasted by fucking solar particles ripping through my skin. I'm just like, what a great learning experience.
This was so fun.
I'm really uranium enriching my life.
I'm glad a billionaire is profiting off of this. Mm-hmm. And
I hope Dogecoin keeps going up.
Because your skin is being flayed off.
It's like, well, you died, but you know, you left your family 100 Dogecoin, so if Elon keeps on memeing, they'll be set for life.
Yeah, it's really strange because, okay, I like, you know, I grew up being a huge nerd and I like space, and I've definitely heard this sort of this kind of narrative of like scientists and astronauts like put their life on the line for like knowledge in space, you know, mm-hmm. but like, yes, it's somewhat dangerous. Like, astronauts have died. Mm-hmm. But, like, the way America has gone about, like, space exploration is insanely dangerous and was insanely rushed because of, like, social culture wars against the right. the Soviet Union. And it didn't have to be that dangerous. It's never had to be dangerous as dangerous.
At least NASA makes a big like production about trying to keep their astronauts safe. Like, they're not just Lord Farquaad. Like, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's what the villain in a children's movie says. Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. It's not what a real adult is supposed to say about a situation.
Yeah. And the thing is like, there's no reason to do this. Like, there's not even a story that is being told of like for national glory
it's soldier mindset. He wants you to be cavalier about death. He wants you to be like, yeah, I could die, but you know, I want to put my 80 hours of work in a week on the fucking the dildo shuttle so I can fucking brag about it to my grandchildren when I have horrible spinal problems from low gravity work for, you know, extended periods of time.
Yeah, that's what's so especially bleak about this is that it's like Elon clearly wants to go to Mars so he can like basically set up a slave labor camp where there's like no laws yet about labor. He can have people mine resources. He can
literally wants to do Red Mars.
Yeah. He probably wants to build a fucking like Bitcoin and Doge mining rig on Mars using all the resources there. Like, he's just doing this to extract value from somewhere and also to make himself feel cool. It's not anything that is actually for the benefit of humanity as a whole.
Absolutely. It's conquest. Not. It's like feudal or like dynastic conquest. He's like, I'm a big dog with a financial empire and I can do this if I want. And nobody else is as serious about it as I am because nobody else has sat around on acid watching as many episodes of Rick and Morty as I have. So I'm just going to fucking do it. And the problem is that like everyone loves it. People are like, his fans love him. His fans don't love him half as much as governments and investors him because he's a psycho who makes a lot of money move around and they don't care where the money is going. They just like it when it moves because then they get their peace.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he's just like, he's sort of the best repackaging of like literal robber baron fascism we've had in, you know, 100 years. Like he, no one has been this rich and this exploitative and this fucking evil and had such a brand that people like he's no one can criticize him.
He wants to reinvent building America's rail system with like, you know, exploited Chinese labor. But instead he just wants to expand it to like the global poor. And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of like extra racist and other discriminatory dimensions to it. But he's just like, everyone's a serf now.
Yeah.
Graduated serfdom. That's the future.
Like, and it's just like all these people who have literally no political education whatsoever are like, well, that's better than now. It's better than like neoliberal democracy. And it's like, I mean, I guess for
how long? In a horrible way, it is exactly the same thing. It's the Pokemon evolution of liberal democracy.
100%. Neo-feudalism,
look,
baby.
It has wings now, and it you know, has better stats, but it's like still a Charmeleon deep down.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is basically just like erasing national borders and like ethnicities and stuff to truly just create like a space upper class and a space underclass.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing about it is like, does he really believe that that's going to happen? Like, do we really think that it's even possible to like colonize Mars?
The problem with
I'm not even sure that's even a real goal.
It's not. The problem with that is that it's not one of Elon's ideas. It's Elon hijacking an already very popular idea. He's doing the PayPal thing where he like buys the founder title. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm the Mars guy. And it's like, no, you're not.
When?
Scientists since like the 50s and 60s especially have theorized about how we could get to Mars because that was like the logical next step after the moon. It's like the next nearest relatively Earth-like, you know, rocky thing that has gravity, et cetera. Like,
it's very close.
Mars is very enticing, you know, for a lot of reasons, not least of all because it has a relatively similar day-night cycle and gravity to Earth, but it's like, and because there might be frozen water on it, but
there definitely is. We found that out recently.
That's the thing. NASA has done so much of the work for him. There are people who are specialists in Mars. certain things about Mars. And like the U.S. space system has been falling apart for how many fucking decades now. All he has to do is come in and scoop up all the fucking expertise and they'll do all the work for him. And Daddy Musk gets to be on all the billboards. And that's all he fucking wants is money and attention.
Yeah. And it's like exactly what the U.S. corporate state wants is like, you know, The only reason for a space race in the first place was anti-communism. And so now it's like, well, the only real reason to do it is for making money. So we'll just have like, you know, a private citizen do it. He can take all the like,
well,
the heat from people.
Be careful because you also have to remember that China does have a good space team and they're the only other country who's been to the moon.
Right. But that's the other thing is like Elon Musk gets to be the poster boy for like, oh, he's an ideological like talking point as well for the ruling class because they're like, capitalism works. We wouldn't get to Mars without capitalism. And it's like, actually, the Chinese space program just has like better priorities. Like they're working on real technical tests and like doing a lot of, you know, prep work and they have a much, much bigger, you know, system. And that's the other thing is like, there's probably more money in SpaceX than there is in the Chinese space program. But think about how much of the money in SpaceX is A, not real, or B, right, being totally squandered on a bunch of incredibly stupid, like, Red Bull Flugtag style.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, completely shifting to other ways that our country is insane. Reuters today put out an exclusive that says, before January 6th, the FBI collected information from at least four Proud Boys. Damn. So as we've said before, January 6th was an inside job. Mm-hmm. And now
311 was an inside job.
I mean, this, I've been saying this since it fucking happened, and we've mm-hmm. said it on the show before, but this article starts off, among the far-right groups whose members are suspected of planning the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol are the Proud Boys. In March, the FBI's director told the Senate Judiciary Committee that he absolutely wished the agency had penetrated the group beforehand or knew of its plans. I do not consider what happened on January 6th to be an acceptable result, the director of the FBI said, Christopher Wray. We are focused very, very hard on how we can get better sources, better information, and better analysis. And before we continue, I just want to say every media outlet picked this up and said there was, I believe in the New York Times, it was an article that was like January 6th Capitol riots or insurrection or whatever they called it was a failure of intelligence. And immediately within the week, there was articles everywhere about how we need to give more money to the FBI. And what we're realizing now is that the FBI is found to have maintained multiple connections with Proud Boy leaders as early as 2019.
Oh my God. And what a sweetheart deal the FBI has. Like, imagine you're at your job and you're like, what's a good way to get a raise? I should do a really bad, or you know what? I should stage a really bad job.
Yeah,
I should deliberately have a customer freak out and pay them to do so. And then when it happens, I'll be like, I don't get paid enough to handle. Like, it's so fucking ridiculous. Like, this wouldn't work for anybody else. This is like the biggest scammer brain in the world, the FBI. Mm-hmm. And this is the same thing that Joe Biden wants to do with the police forces. He's like, we need to give them sensitivity training and
more
we
money.
Can expand yeah. the budget quite a bit to do that.
Yeah, one of the
it always makes me feel like I'm losing my mind when they talk about like the failure of intelligence, because it's like anyone could have found the intelligence. They posted online. It was practically like that thing of like, let's go to Area 51. They can't stop all of us. If people actually had gone and broken in, and then the cops were like, well, there was no way to know that everyone was going to do this on this day. They all fucking told you they were going to.
Yeah. And not only that, you told them they were going to.
Yeah.
It is very clear who did this. It's not obfuscated at all.
I mean, anybody can pay $15 a week and get a 4chan gold account, just like I do.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about it is like these people, we've covered this a lot, but I think what's really important about it is so blatant. Like,
right.
The Oath Keepers were there, people who are literally on, like, have been seen and are paid, like, factually Roger Stone's bodyguards. We have 3 to 4, because there was the other guy who came forward as like an actual FBI asset, who was one of the leaders of the Proud Boys. And now 3 more people were FBI informants in the Proud Boys. And then the director of the FBI lied to the Senate Judiciary Committee and said, we didn't have intel on this. We wish we had.
This is a failure of intelligence.
The Proud Boys is a fucking FBI cutout. It's like if 9/11 happened and then there was factual evidence that 4 of the terrorists on the plane were in the FBI and like Osama bin Laden was Roger Stone's fucking bodyguard, like, would anybody think that it was not an inside job?
Well, didn't that happen but with the CIA with 9/11?
Yes, yeah. But I mean, obviously, I'm a 9/11
How do you think
there.
Osama bin Laden got all those seasons of Pinky in the Brain?
Where do you think he got ass.mov? Yeah.
You think ass.gif grows on trees? Come on.
But yeah,
where
it's just
like Osama bin Laden got the hot coffee mod for Grand Theft Auto.
It is very clear what happened on January 6th. And it was a staged insurrection to show that that our democracy is in danger and that we need to take away rights from protesters. That's it. It was we had a whole year of anti-police insurrectionary tactics. And the government said, well, we got to clamp down on this, but we have the Constitution, so we better do something like 9/11 to take away people's rights away. That's very clear.
And that whole year, what were the far right groups doing during the protest? They were either showing up and fucking with the people who were protesting or hanging out with the fucking cops. So how hard should it have been for, you know, intelligence and like police to make inroads with these far right groups, especially because I have to imagine at least a quarter or a half of the time they see these guys and they're like, oh, hey, Bill, how's it going? Good to see you.
Yeah. A lot of the people at the riot were just like off duty cops from New York and I don't know, Boston, like all over the place. Were just like, hey, I need some vacation days, boss. I'm going to go riot at the Capitol and try to storm the government.
They're not even like JFK like mafia people, like they're literally state actors. Mm-hmm. Like these are people who work for the government, and people are like, well, you're crazy. It's not an inside job. Mm-hmm. It was Trump. Trump was the president.
Speaking of people thinking you're crazy,
losing my goddamn mind
for
my
believing God. What intelligence agencies are doing when they essentially tell you what they're doing. We all broke our brains today and listened to a half hour interview with one of the chiefs of, what did she call her department?
Like chief of technology or something?
Yeah, she was the chief of a directorate. And there are five directorates in the CIA. And she's the one that handles technology that is not 100% cybernetic and like virtual and digital. She handles the stuff that's like analog and digital and like that crossover there. And
so the way they try to frame, here's the thing.
She's
you
Q from James Bond.
If you
they
don't
could not
like,
stop talking about fucking fictional stories.
If you don't like me yelling, if you don't like to hear me get a little heated, turn this off right now. This is the last, this is insane. So she is the CIA's director of science and technology. In the article that's attached to this podcast, it says, think the Q from James Bond films. And like Chris said, they would not shut the fuck up about fictional depictions of spies.
I think at some point she was like, yeah, Q is a little outdated. Think more like Ethan Hunt from Mission Impossible. God.
Another 20-year-old movie. Yeah.
Think more like Michael Hunt.
Think Michael Hunt.
Yeah, Amanda Hug and Kiss is a little too obvious. Think more like Michael Hunt.
It says, but the nimble, discreet monitoring advanced by the intelligence community has also raised big questions for the privacy and data security of American citizens. Now think about what Edward Snowden revealed about the NSA. Remember, just to be clear, Snowden is a fucking CIA agent. That's not hidden. He admits that he's a CIA agent.
There were a lot of like questions where the interviewer would act like she was actually breaching like a real topic, and sometimes use like words. Like she asked about MK Ultra, she asked about Edward Snowden, she asked about a bunch of other CIA operations, and like then blithely accepted it every time when this lady from the CIA would just like say three words about it, deflect, and answer two questions that were not asked.
Yeah, every like, fucking everything in this is so infuriating. So the I feel like I could just do a whole episode on this, but we're almost out of time. So but it's like it begins with the interviewer basically setting her up like some sort of like fun like inventor, like a wacky inventor who like makes up different kinds of like exploding pens or something. So
yeah,
that the
gym office goes to Willy Wonka's CIA gadget factory.
Right. And what's funny is
it's making me think about them. You know, the beginning of Spy Kids, they keep on taking off their different wigs. Who makes those wigs? Probably a fun time making wigs like that.
Yeah. You're like Alan Cummings Floop, but you make thumbs. But you know, the thing about this is that this kind of like sweeping under the rug, the fact that all of these things are to murder people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like we're talking about murdering people.
Right. There was the part where that she was talking about, like, say if you wanted a puppet to put in someone's car.
No, wait. We have to get there.
Okay. But, we'll get to the puppets.
But the point I'm trying to make is that they're smoothing over the fact that we're just talking about killing people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Extrajudiciously murdering people who have not been convicted of a crime. And that's just accepted as like normal and something that has to be done. And this is her job, is to make fun little gadgets that do that.
Right. Well, and I should also add, there's a whole caveat that this interview is presented not about her actual work at the CIA, which is covered to some degree, but mostly that she is concerned about the amount of data that Facebook has. So there's right. this like fake tension that they're trying to present between tech giants and the intelligence agencies that might or might not exist to some degree, but I have to imagine is being completely overplayed.
Right. So they set up that she is a wacky, you know, fun Dr. Megarium or whatever. And then she's a Willy Wonka of spy shit. And then she's, you know, she's like you said, John, she goes into like, so the CIA has done some real wacky stuff like MK Ultra, Project Corona, and then like names a bunch of like really minor stuff, like doesn't mention anything actually insane, like
Northwoods.
Paperclip or Northwoods or Mockingbird or, right. you know, any of like the sort of actually you know, chaos, any of the incredibly recent and disgusting things they have done. But there's no answer to that. There's just like, yeah, well, it was a long time ago. And, you know, we didn't do mind control. Definitely yeah, none of that worked. None of that was a real thing.
We wish that we had collected better intelligence. And, you know, you should come down to the CIA museum sometime. We'll show you the fish and the dragonflies that we use to collect water samples and, like, air quality samples. And I'm like, oh, great. They have special fish to figure out if the water is suitable to send an agent in to kill me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, so yeah. She was joking about, like, oh, yeah, some kind of Operation Kitty Cat where we try to put a thing inside of a cat. You can imagine how well that worked. Cats don't follow directions, and it's just like so you're only talking about the dumb things that you tried that didn't work and not right. mentioning all the horrific things that you do that do work.
She'll gesture towards the horrific things. She'll call things like technical collection and payload deliveries, which mm-hmm. is like, okay, ooh. So you are taking data on how to kill somebody and then sending someone the stuff that they need to kill that person, right, basically.
Right. But then she's talking about fish and dragonflies, and I was just like, what are we talking about? And then she like mentions that they have like tiny drones the size of bugs. Like, yeah. has that ever been reported? I'm not aware of that.
That's movie shit as far as I was ever concerned.
Yeah. And never once does the interviewer be like, hey, can we elaborate on this? It's the most like ADHD interview. It's constantly jumping onto the next topic with no thought to the previous one.
The interviewer is constantly like hemming and hawing about like, I know you can't tell me everything. If you can't say anything, it's okay. And it's like, why don't you just ask the fucking question?
Right.
Like, why don't you just try to have a conversation and they'll tell you. Like, I'm sure a high-ranking intelligence officer will tell you if they're allowed to tell you something.
Isn't gonna whoopsie-daisy like, into like telling you about how they're surveilling all the Mexicans or whatever. Like, but the or you know, killing everyone at Ferguson who protested, which they right. definitely did. And here's when it starts getting really off the rails is where she's like, we hire people from every sector. We what does she say? We scan, we spot, assess, and recruit people with particular expertise. So she's like, I know people will be a little bit afraid of that. Yeah. Yeah, we're fucking afraid of that. We know we're afraid of you because you are a fucking fascist.
Massive secret criminal organization.
They said that they operate in every sector because if something is happening in a sector, they want to be able to address it. So it's like by any definition of like totalitarian or authoritarian, you should be much more worried about the CIA than the fucking tankies on Twitter.
Literally,
then she also goes on to talk about how they have these partnerships with Amazon, but more interestingly, this company called Qtel, which is literally a venture capitalist firm that works with the CIA, finding new technologies for them to invest in so that the CIA can have access to those technologies, but also operate in them like a market agent and make money. And they work in such industries as batteries, small cameras, biotech, and machine learning. So, you know, buckle up, fucko, because it's about to get worse.
Right. they are literally a CIA cutout called the Qtel that, and she calls them our venture capitalists. Yeah. Like, who is okay with this?
Some
like,
of the worst sentences ever assembled. I have to say,
the CIA's venture capitalists is like, we didn't vote for, like, no one allowed this. This is just, this is of course going to happen. Public-private partnerships that are designed to fucking kill black people. Like,
Well, and then she goes, she justifies it a little bit when she says, private industry does a heck of a lot more R&D than we do at this point. That's where InQtel comes in very handy. It's like, you literally just outsourced your shit. And like,
that's all they
set
do,
up a shell corporation, and then you were like, this is it, America, check it out, public private partnerships do work when you use them to kill people.
She expects us to believe that this company is just like, I will research and develop random things, and then sometimes the CIA is like, hey, we could use that thing, and not that they're constantly having meetings and being like, we need something very specific to kill this person, can you make this?
Right. And then relevant to what you were gesturing towards earlier, Chris, it seems like they have kind of a gig economy situation where they will just like bring in contractors from places like Hollywood and Disney and have them do special contract work for the CIA. And she was even like very cavalier about, we let them know up front. It's like, you know, if we feel like we can keep working with you, then we keep them around, and we keep most of the people around. And it's like, so you're literally just poaching talent from like major entertainment companies to like put makeup on your special agents and create like body doubles for them.
Well, she says, if we need a puppeteer, we'll hire a puppeteer. And the interviewer is like, why would you need a puppeteer? And she's like, I can't tell you that.
Lunch breaks. We love puppets.
Like, imagine she says, well, if you needed to say like someone to disappear from a car.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the interviewer is like, what?
Why would you need to do that?
Oh, a body. Like, I think they're still in the car.
Are the people who make mannequins and shit also called puppeteers?
I guess.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They need a better, more artisanal sounding name.
But I just can't. I can't fucking believe this, because I'm not that crazy. Like, I have never in my life looked at a situation and been like, the CIA made a puppet and is controlling a puppet. That's not a real person. Mm-hmm. That's a puppet. And then the CIA lady says we do that.
Like, well,
what the fuck?
In someone's car?
That means there has been situations where we've seen shit that wasn't real. That there was fake people who were puppeteers made by probably like ex Industrial Light and Magic people.
Wait a minute. Like, wait a minute.
Imagineers. And then they weren't real fucking people. Like, the level, and then to call me a fucking conspiracy theorist online because I think that maybe like China isn't doing a genocide, even though the State Department says they are not doing a genocide because they might write an article that's not true. So fucking infuriating.
Has anyone seen the makeup artist from Benjamin Button and Prince Philip in the same room? Can a man really live to the age of 99, or has he been a puppet for the last 10 years? All we see is him sitting in a car looking dead.
It's like, my mind is reeling now. Is everything a lie? Like, Henry Kissinger is really just the five people who made the Pixar intro sequence from all those movies in the 90s.
Right.
And they've just been like animating a hologram, and I'm none the wiser. Like, every day Vladimir Putin like wakes up in sunny Los Angeles and goes to a film production studio to be on TV next to his friends Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Like,
mm-hmm. Right. Because you have to, you know, then you have to do like double doubt yourself, be like, okay, well, this is on New York Times, a CIA-controlled paper. So is this a limited hangout? Like, are they saying stuff because they want you to feel crazy?
They're trying to normalize it. They're trying to make you think that these things are cool. They want you to look at these things and be like, attaboy, and not like, what are you doing?
This is for me.
They want you to think, because the interviewer knows what her goal is. They want you to think this is cool James Bond shit. And every time the CIA bungles, they want you to think it's a really funny episode of Archer. Like, that is that's mm-hmm. what the United States is.
Right.
That's what we want it to be in the media.
Exactly. And I highly encourage anyone to listen to this just to fucking destroy your mind. But also,
it's fun.
To, also, to
better than any drug,
much cheaper than research chemicals.
Also, to understand that the CIA works way different than you thought it did. Like, whatever you think it is, you're wrong. Because, like, even what they say it is wrong. But, like, the idea that I think what's important is like the idea that you could ever be ex-CIA is wrong. Like yeah. they do have contractors, but unless you were explicitly against the CIA, they're not going to let you leave or ever talk about it. Like you are under constant surveillance if you work with them, and they will call you back to work if they need you.
One more mission, John. I can't. I'm too old for this shit.
We need you to Twitch stream Pokemon for 36 hours.
It'll kill me.
I can't. I'm too weak.
That's a sacrifice we're willing to make.
But that's the way I always wanted to go. I mean, you sick fucks.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to BP Bledis. This has been the regular episode. So if you'd like to hear more of our show, more of us ranting and talking about, you know, slowly our brains melting, go to patreon.com/BP Bledis. You will get Discord access there, a weekly bonus every week. And you can follow us on Twitter at WeedPod. You can follow me at Kinematography. Oh, no, we don't have to say all our Twitter accounts. Oh, yeah. You can follow us individually from there. Check out my other show, Generation Lost. Check out John's other show, Work Stoppage. Watch John Twitch stream Pokemon for the CIA at twitch.tv/BPBledisPod. Me stream twitch.tv/dullcare. Otherwise, hang out with us in Mids Posting, and we'll see you in the Discord.
Weed.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.